Hey guys, it's Ryan here from London, UK, via New Zealand, and this episode of IVMV is brought to you by Patreon supporters like me. So roll the intro music, Corey, and more importantly, go Cubbies.
Hi, and thanks for downloading this episode of the IVMV podcast. It's our annual season prediction episode. We're going to make some 2016 Cubs team and player predictions on different statistical categories that were sent in by listeners. I'm one of your co-hosts. My name is Corey, and I am joined by the other two hosts of this podcast.
Hello, it's Andy.
And Kurt.
I'm pretty excited for this episode. It's fun to have like a clean slate ahead of us and to try to guess how things will pan out. And it's also a big episode because this starts our in-season schedule of 2 weeks or two episodes per week. We'll have episodes on Sunday nights, and then we will have a midweek episode that will typically come out on Wednesday nights. So if you're listening to this on Monday, happy opening day. And to celebrate opening day, we're going to have a sale on our t-shirts. And it's, what is it, Kurt, 20% off? Is that what your image says there that you're working on?
That's what we've done in the past. So if that's what we go with, that's what I'll make it.
Yeah, let's do it. 20% off. And you can use the coupon code 2016, 2016, at checkout. Is that correct? Is that what we're going with? Okay. Yep. So go to ivmv.com/store to get 20% off IVNV shirts. Let's just do it for the first week of the season. So starting on as soon as you hear this, the coupon code will be active. So if you're watching live, we do broadcast this thing live, and if you're watching it live and you're in the Quad Cities, one of the reasons that we're recording earlier today is that I will be on WQAD Channel 8 tonight at 10:30 to talk about the Cubs with Corey Cuffler. So he usually has me on a couple times a year, and so
is it another Cubs Cardinals showdown?
I don't know because I didn't know it was the first time.
You didn't know last time either.
I'm hoping John Marks is not involved, but you know, we'll see.
Should be interesting if he is.
Yeah. I should do one of those things where we're sitting at like that table, do a selfie with John Marks. I think people that know my feelings on John Marks would maybe get a kick out of that. So before we get started with predictions though, Dawn from Plainfield, she asked if we have any 2016 season resolutions. And I think we've kind of talked about like, you know, I think maybe we've done like New Year's resolutions and stuff when it comes to the Cubs, but I was thinking that, you know, this is a good time. It's kind of like the Cubs New Year today. This is Cubs New Year's Eve, tonight, Sunday night. So she said that she was thinking about how she should handle the season a little differently. She said, like, maybe I don't give myself ulcers in April and May, but then I figured that's probably going to happen no matter what. So I changed my resolution for the 2016 season. I will no longer stay up to watch entire West Coast games except opening night. I need my sleep. So what do you guys think? Any Cubs resolutions season?
I plan on watching those late night games to conclusion, even though I need sleep. I think I said it last year, but I'd like to listen to the radio broadcast a little bit more, you know, just keep, and I think tied up with that plan is to just be outside more while taking in a Cubs game. So mine's to listen to the radio broadcast more often.
Boy, I don't really have anything good other than like, this is kind of a broader, like, sort of try to, like what Don said, like keep calm in the bad times and have faith that the lineup will, you know, be as good as they're supposed to be. So I think there's a lot of anxiety about whether they can live up to the expectations, and so
right,
my resolution is really just like what she said, like those stupid posters, keep calm and carry on.
Yeah, I Well, Andy, kind of what yours, I think last year I kind of wanted to listen to more games on the radio, and I definitely did last year. I listened to more games on the radio than I watched on TV, and like you're saying, it kind of allowed me to not be a couch potato and actually get more stuff accomplished around the house and the yard and stuff like that. Unfortunately, the bad thing about it is that, you know, I wear earbuds, and so then I'm kind of plugged in, so I'm around, but I'm not exactly like... engaging with my children and stuff like that, so I'm more active, but it probably suffers in other areas. So but that's what I think my resolution is going to be. I mean, my oldest, she's 9, she's, you know, really into the Cubs in baseball in general, and I think one thing this season is I would like to, like, she's kind of got the you know, she knows who the players are and stuff like that, but I really want to kind of start working with her on like understanding the game. Not like to an extreme amount, you know. I don't want her to have to like look, you know, stuff up on Fangraphs or anything like that. But just kind of start to have a better understanding of the game. And so that's one of the things I want to do this year: is sit down, watch more games with her, and really try to explain what's going on and why things, you know, why players do certain things or managers do certain things. So I guess that's what my resolution is.
Nice.
Yeah.
I think I'm still a ways away with my son for that.
Yeah, type of thing. Yeah, and I wouldn't even attempt it with my soon-to-be 8-year-old. If she could know who players are besides Anthony Rizzo and now, you know, John Lackey, because he signed her Cubs cape, she knows exactly who he is. He's not hard to pick.
But you're right. Like the temperament of the kid dictates like
right.
How soon you can try and indoctrinating said kid.
Right.
Well, and since you guys are kind of on the subject too, I that could be one of mine too with my 4-year-old is doing more of that as well. Just because he does love baseball, but I'm just being really careful not to overdo it,
right?
And be that guy. But he is showing interest, and so hopefully we'll be able to take in some games. And like Andy said, listening too, so you can do other stuff while you take in the game rather than just sitting around.
If you're looking at tickets to Cubs games, both at home or on the road, then check out SeatGeek. You know, most websites for buying tickets, they make it complicated and then they try to sneak in huge fees at the checkout. And that's why you need to try SeatGeek. They made it easier than ever to buy and sell sports and concert tickets. I'm trying to figure out what games I can hit this year, and so I downloaded the SeatGeek app. I'm able to identify different games that I may go to, and then the app allows me to bookmark those games so that you can track the prices and set alerts so you get notified and stuff when the prices fall. So that's a feature that I really like. And they also have a really cool feature on their website to check out. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but if you're looking at a ballpark that you're going to go to and you want to improve your chances at catching a home run, then go to SeatGeek.com/home-run. It's SeatGeek.com/home-run. And it shows you how many home runs landed in the different seating areas in 2015. So I thought that was kind of cool, especially if you're taking a kid, you know, and you want to have a souvenir or whatever. That's kind of a neat thing to look at and see which. And just as like a baseball fan, I was interested in seeing like where most of the home runs landed at Wrigley Field last year. Just it's kind of interesting to look at. But SeatGeek, it's a great service. And here's how you can get a $20 rebate for purchasing tickets. Download the free SeatGeek app and then go into the settings tab and tap on add a promo code and enter the promo code Ivy. That's IVY. And SeatGeek will send you $20 after you've made your first purchase. So start identifying the games you want to go to, set your alerts, and enjoy some Cubs baseball this spring, summer, and hopefully fall. And I swear we're going to get into the predictions here. One more quick question. It was sent in by Chris, and he said, does it bother you when people plural RBI, like Lester had 2 RBIs today? He said, no, he had runs batted in. And I know, Kurt, like, I believe you call them art. I don't know, or maybe we've talked about it. It seems like I've heard you say RBI or something.
I don't remember that, but yeah, I think you're wrong. I didn't say that.
Does it bother you guys when people say RBIs?
It doesn't bother me too much. I mean, and it should probably bother me. A lot of people justify adding an S to the end of it because they treat it like it's an acronym, which is a noun, like laser, you know, or scuba. And so then it would be appropriate to add an S. But an acronym actually is initials that become a word themselves. So RBI isn't really an acronym. So I think it should be RBI instead of RBIs. But it, that being said, it doesn't really bother me too much.
Yeah, I'm kind of indifferent just because it's become so common.
Right. That's what, yeah. And I think that I have said RBI and RBIs both.
Yeah, I think.
But I mean, I guess, I mean, shouldn't it technically be RSBI? I think it should, but I don't know.
And you just sound like a snob. Like using adverbs all the time. Nobody uses adverbs anymore.
Right.
Oh, no. They should, man. It drives me crazy.
Well, and I think Chris's example of Lester having two RBIs, if, you know, that's not going to happen very often. So,
although I do like describing things as real good. I like leaving out the adverb in that situation.
You like spelling it R-U-L-L.
It's going to be a real good game, R-I-L.
Are you predicting, since this is a prediction episode, you're predicting a real good game on Monday night?
Oh, yeah, it's going to be real, real good.
All right, so we have a lot of predictions to make here, and we asked you to send in the stat categories that you wanted us to predict and the numbers to set the over and unders at. We got a bunch, so I'm sure I'm missing a couple because they were still rolling in even in, like, yesterday, and I threw some on there. So I wasn't able to include all of them, and I thought it would be easier just to list some of the people that sent them to us ahead of time rather than attributing to them later. So Mike, Don, Anthony, Jason, John, Shannon, Frederick, Sean, Nick, Jason, Matthew, Jeremy, Jonah, and hopefully I didn't forget anybody. But yeah, it was kind of cool to see what you guys wanted us to predict and not to, you know, have to come up with them ourselves, which is always nice. It's always nice for listeners to do the work for you. So in no, these are all in no particular order. They're kind of mixed up. Some people sent a bunch and I sprinkled them in and had to leave some out, but so obviously this team, this Cubs team, can knock the ball out of the ballpark. So let's start with home runs. I figured that was a good place.
I would
to
like
start.
To throw in one listener comment that Jason had pointed out that over-unders should not be whole numbers. So I wonder if we should kind of clear that up off the top,
right,
and work that in right away.
Right. So let's set everything at like a 0.5.
Right. So whatever it was, it's 0.5.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So let's start off with Chris Bryant. The over under has been set at 27.5, and for reference, he hit 26 in 2015. So just one more, but you know, he's with the Cubs for an additional 2 weeks or whatever. Chris Bryant, what do you guys think? 27.5.
I'm going under. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm going over on that. I think he'll hit more than 27.5.
Yeah, me too. I'm over. And I'm saying like 31.
That's what I had. I had over 31. So when we tally these up, or Michael from Galesburg tallies these up at the end of the year, we're tied so far, no matter what.
Maybe we should keep notes or just let him do the work later.
Well, I'll let him do it. He's so good at it. I don't, you know. I think he enjoys it.
I don't want to take away his fun.
Right. That just wouldn't be fair. If he agrees to do it again next year, that'd be his third year in a row. So hopefully he'll do it. Okay. Next one is Anthony Rizzo home runs, and the over under is 30.5, and he had 31 in 2015.
Ooh, I'm going over. I think around 32.
Yep, I am over, and I said 33.
I'm saying under. I think I have under in that he'll have 27. And I think that there's just not going to be as much pressure on him, especially, you know, last year, especially early in the season. I think he still had that pressure to produce a lot of runs, and I can't remember. I mean, I should look to see how many of those home runs he hit in the different months to know if, you know, if he hit very many at the beginning of the season, but I just think there's not going to be the pressure on him to hit the home runs. And I don't know. I think Rizzo's also going to get maybe a few more days off this year than he has in the last couple of years. So I think there could be a number of factors, and that he'll probably be, you know, close to as productive as he was before, but maybe his home run total will be a little bit lower.
I agree with you on those points for the most part, but one argument against that is the lineup in general just being more rugged around him, and him, you know, pitchers being more likely to have to pitch to him in certain situations where they maybe wouldn't have had to in the past. But yeah, I pretty much agree with you.
Addison Russell. The over under is set at 15.5, and he hit 13 in 2015.
My guess is under on that. I think there's plenty of guys on the team who can hit home runs, and I think he's going to recognize his role isn't necessarily to do that. I know that he'll still get his fair share, but I'm just going to go slightly under on that one.
Yep, me too. I'm under at 14 or so.
I have over. I have him pegged for 19. I don't know. He's shown a lot of like power this spring, I guess, and it just seems like that could be like one of the surprises of the 2016 season. Like, where did Russell's power come from? So
now, Corey, I know you always have a bold prediction on these episodes. Is that your bold prediction this time?
I don't know. We'll see. I probably have something more
bolder,
idiotically bold later. okay. And Kyle Schwarber. So the over under is 25.5. He had 16 in 2015, but keep in mind that was about half, actually less than half of the plate appearances of a regular season. So 25.5.
I'm going to go over. I mean, I kind of almost hate to do that. I mean, but I think over. Well, especially given a potential platoon situation. But I'm going to go ahead and still say over.
Yeah, and I went under for that reason, the platoon. He played 69 games last year. I'm guessing I put him at like 110 games this year maybe. And at that rate, he would be around 25 if he kept the pace of last year. I think he's like slightly less, but so I would put him at like 22. So I'm under.
I bet he plays a lot more early on. I mean, do they want to put Soler in a mask out there, or a guy who's used to playing in Indiana?
Well, and let's also keep in mind that Schwarber can get plate appearances and into games at the catcher position too. He doesn't have to be in the outfield.
And designated hitter in these games, like the opening series and stuff like that.
Right. Well, I have over. Maybe this is my bold prediction. I have him at 33 home runs.
Whoa. Dang, that is big.
That is a big number.
For a platoon.
I don't know. I wouldn't call him a platoon player.
Well,
I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. He's your starting left fielder, but.
I mean, I see like a lot of the predictions, like Zips and, you know, Pakota, whatever, what have you, have him playing a lot of games, like more than I would expect. For example, Zips has him. Or wait a second, I messed up in my thinking. But I don't see him.
Yeah, playing Zips has him at 145 games. Zips predicts 32 home runs. Steamer is 25. I'm sticking with
it. This is my chance to get a point, I guess. I'll stick with under.
Or your chance to lose a point.
Yeah, although I'd love to be wrong on that one. So
yeah, right. and I think that you have won. This is what, our third or fourth year or something like that. And I think you won it every year, but I think the first. I think Andy won it the first.
And I think it was like the first year I was really terrible. So then the second year I was like, man, I'm gonna suck it up. And then I've won.
You haven't lost since. And I've never won. Gosh,
perennial powerhouse.
This is the year I win, guys. I'm telling you. And it's that Schwarber pick that's going to put me over the top.
Well, Andy had one, too, so it had over, too.
Okay. He's already going to be out of it, though. That's what's
we have separate. Differentiation in other places. Now, let's pump the brakes a little bit on the he's already going to be out of it. Talk.
This is four picks in. He'll already be out of it.
We've got like 30 more to go.
Okay, so The question is, who will be the home run leader of the Cubs in 2016? So mine is Schwarber. And then I guess you guys have Bryant. Both of you guys have Bryant?
No, I have Rizzo.
Rizzo.
Home run leader? I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I don't see this in the doc, so I missed that one.
Oh.
Shoot. Did you skip to someplace else?
I have no idea.
It's not in there. It's just he's just throwing off the cuff here.
Okay, I see. All right, so I'm going to say home run leader is going to be Anthony Rizzo.
Okay, all right. The next one is more home runs, Travis Wood or David Ross?
Grandpa. Definitely.
Let's see. I'm going to say David Ross.
Man, I'm tempted just to go with Travis Wood just to... because you guys didn't, but I think I'm going to go with David Ross too. I think Andy predicted a power surge last year. It didn't exactly happen, but I think this is it. He's going to go out. I mean, I think his last year, his last season, I think not only do I think he's going to hit a home run, I think he's going to hit like a dramatic postseason home run.
Mm. Wow.
So I think David Ross will... have more home runs than Travis Wood.
Yeah, I think he could get to like 4 or 5.
I could see that.
He's always had like, you know, he's not like a power hitter, but he has hit some home runs in the past. It's just recently with age that they've really fallen off.
And now, well, like, what does he have to lose? He can just swing as hard as he can because, I think he will, especially like, you know, if he can get in a couple games where the wind's blown out at Wrigley. You just kind of put one up, you know, he's good at hitting pop flies. So, just hope that the wind carries him out.
In 2014, he had 7 in 50 games. So,
wow.
He's got a little pop.
He just didn't this is lame. Cause I like last year I predicted 4 and you guys are like, that's garbage. You're stupid. And then now you're like, oh yeah.
But remember last year?
Numbers I brought up last year that I got crap for. Oh yeah! Look, he could do it. Look at his track record in the past.
That's called the year of wisdom and learning from your mistakes, Andy. You should try it.
Wait, so my Andy mistake was
the same old. I'm calling for a Leicester opening day start again.
So my mistake was picking 4 when he only got 1 last year. So learning from my mistakes would be picking less.
Yeah. Well, so
whatever.
You're still wrong. Okay, moving on. More strikeouts. Jake Arrieta thrown or Javi Baez swinging? Last season, Jake Arrieta had 236 strikeouts, and Javier Baez had 24 strikeouts in 80 plate appearances.
Yeah, this one was pretty easy, I think. I think Arrieta's... way ahead.
Yeah, I pick Arrieta.
200 plus.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think if Baez strikes out that much, he probably won't get the plate appearances. If he strikes out at that rate, he's not going to get plate appearances. So I feel pretty safe saying Arrieta.
Agreed.
Yep. Let's see. Cub most likely to win the batting title. This is a question that was sent to us. Well, can I jump in and answer?
Go ahead, Corey.
I'm going to jump in and answer this one first, and I just can't see it happening. If you look at last season, Rizzo led the team with a .278 batting average, and I don't think this team, I can't see anytime soon there being anyone that could contend for the batting title. So I don't think it's happening.
That's exactly what I thought. I mean, you're probably not going to see plus 300 hitters on this team. But if it was anyone, if I had to pick somebody that was get closest, I would pick Hayward.
Right, right. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. But I still don't think so.
No.
Yeah, Hayward, Zobrist, Rizzo, you know, Rizzo could get close, you know, to 290 or something like that. But yeah, just nobody's going to be close. It's hard to see anybody being close.
Yeah.
Given their, career histories.
The next one is Cub most likely to chase a fire truck. So a little Rube Waddell shout out. I can't remember. I wish I could remember, Andy. I don't know if you, I think somebody tweeted it to us that they're, they've become obsessed with Rube Waddell and they're trying to find a Rube Waddell jersey.
Oh my God.
I can't remember who sent that. Might have been Brett, but I can't remember. But
and he's fascinating. I mean, it's hard not to become a little obsessed, but the fire truck chaser, I was trying to think of like, this is terrible where you're like getting into physiognomy where you're looking at some a player's appearance and like making judgments about how dim they might be. and this is terrible because people have told me I look like this guy, which makes it even worse. But I picked Trevor Cahill.
How come everybody says you look like, you went from like everybody saying that you look like Rizzo. Like, people used to say that all the time, and now everybody says you look like Cahill. It's been a rough year on you, man.
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm going to be nice to Andy since I was just hard on him, but I think he looks more like Rizzo than Cahill.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I pick Kawasaki to chase a fire truck just to be hilarious if anyone's doing it.
I had it narrowed down to three people, and Kawasaki was number two on the list. I also could see, like, Rizzo accidentally doing it, trying to catch a foul ball. And
that doesn't count. That's on purpose.
And the other one is Ross, and I have no idea why. Other than, I don't know. It would probably make a good
chase like, it on his scooter.
Right. I just figured it would make a good like Grandpa Rossi Instagram post. That was all I could come up with. Let's see. This one I will say who shared it, Mike. And Andy and I, we had the pleasure of hanging out with Mike. He's from Minnesota. He was in the Quad Cities for work, and we watched the Thursday night Cubs game there in Las Vegas at Bent River with him. And his question is, how many times will you explain the muscle flex in 2016? And he sets the over under at 10.5.
It's gotta be over.
You generally kind of briefly do it almost every episode.
I know.
Right?
I told him it's like some of that stuff is just really hard to, you know, not being professionals. It's kind of hard to navigate that type of stuff. Like, you know, if there's somebody listening for the first time, you don't want to just like jump into it and people don't have any clue what it is. But then you hate to like repeat it so much that regular listeners get tired of hearing it. So, yeah, I try to do like a very brief explanation. But I did remind him that on the last episode, I did not explain what that segment is. And I will try.
It sounds like it's his sort of passive or passive aggressive way of saying stop explaining it so much.
It's okay. I hear that kind of stuff all the time. So, you know, it's
one star review. Yeah.
I love this podcast, except for the fact that they always explain the internet mess. Should we explain it now? Yeah. Just get one under the belt.
I'm just going to hand that off to you guys when we get there. And now, oh, we'll do the internet muscle flex. Kurt, you want to tell people what it is?
And I'll just say no.
All right, moving on.
Okay, next one is more pickoff attempts, Lester or Ross?
I think Ross has more pickoff attempts.
Yep,
Ross. He has quite a propensity to snap a throw down to first base, et cetera.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think it's going to be a fun season to watch with Ross because I feel like, I feel like he's been really good for the clubhouse. I mean, we kind of heard that last year, but doesn't it seem like since he announced that he was going to be retiring and since spring training, like he's become kind of more of a character and he's kind of like, I guess, getting a little bit more attention and everything. Doesn't it seem like that? And so I kind of think that he's just going to go balls out this season. Like, I think he's just like, I could see him trying to pick off guys at first all the time. I could see him swinging for the fences. I just think he's going to have fun this season.
So. Well, and his play in spring training has already kind of reflected that attitude a little bit with that. He made that one diving catch, you know, near the dugout. And then he's also hit a homer in spring training as well.
Well, didn't he have a diving catch, then a pickoff or double play?
Yeah.
He was the guy out at second.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think Ross. Next question is positions played by Bryant, and he set it at 2.5. Well, actually, he set it at 2, but then he said we couldn't push. I can't remember who sent this. Set it at 2 and said we couldn't push, so I moved it to 2.5 if we can't push. So, So in 2015, he played, he played third, left field, center field, right field, and first base.
And for that reason, I picked over on this one.
Yeah. Same.
How many do you think he'll play?
I think three.
I'd say three as well. Yeah, like maybe third center right.
Well, or
third center left. I don't know.
See, I have three too. I just think I don't know. I'm actually kind of torn, and I'm going to work this out as I talk. So I think it could be three.
Like maybe.
I can see him playing third, left field, and first base. But at the same time, like I don't think they're going to need him in the outfield like they did last year. You know, remember, like towards the beginning of the season, or you know, at the beginning part of the season, and then in the middle, they needed him in the outfield a little bit more. Then they brought up Schwarber, and the need wasn't quite, you know, wasn't there as much. So I could kind of see him playing. Man, I don't know.
Well, you could pick up a point if you go under.
I'm actually kind of thinking about going under, and that he just plays one. He plays third base. But I think that Joe Maddon moves guys around too much to say that anyone will play just first one position, except for like Rizzo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to remember the fluky circumstances that led him to playing center last year. There's something weird that happened in that game.
I think he started at center field. Mm-hmm. Right. I think they were just trying to like kind of get him moving around, and they were talking about versatility, and they didn't, you know, I think there was some question whether or not he would be able to stick at third base. I think I'm going to go over. I'm going to say he plays. I think he's going to play third base. I think he'll play at some point. He'll get into left field, and then I think he'll play first base too.
Yeah, I think that's pretty safe. But then there's also, you know, the Zobrist factor. You didn't have Zobrist who could play just about anywhere.
Right. Or Baez.
And Baez. Yeah, you got both of those guys. So.
Ton more versatility.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, I feel like going over means I'm wrong, but I'm still going to do it. Well, you mentioned Baez. That's a good transition. How many different positions will Baez play?
Are we just picking on this one?
Let's put it, let's just get
4.5.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do 4.5. Yeah.
Well, I'm over at five.
I'm over at six.
Yeah. I have five too. So I guess each of us are over. I think he'll be moved around a lot. I think that's a good thing if we're right, because, it means he'll have been playing well and he'll be on the Cubs and that he'll play well enough to get moved around a lot. So. The next question is, how many different positions in one game for Baez?
I'm going to say three.
I said two.
I say three. So let's set the over-under at 2.5.
I'm under.
All right. Next one is, how many games will Schwarber be at catcher, be a catcher? This one doesn't have an over under either. So it's 21 games in 15 and 15 starts in 2015. So should we set it at, well, let's set it at 35.
Okay. I'm under in that case.
35 and a half.
Yeah. I'm under at like 30.
Well, he's going to catch Hamill.
Yep. That's what
I'm going to say over. I'm going to say like kind of a surprisingly large number. I'm going to say 45. And I'm not going to bother.
That is a lot.
Yeah. I'm not going to explain myself because then I'll look like an idiot. And so I'll just be right instead. And then everybody will think I'm a genius.
Pretty safe policy.
Okay. Who will have more games, who will have the most games at first base after Rizzo? So who will play first base most other than Rizzo?
I'm going to guess Baez on that.
Yep.
Yeah, so. I think so too. Either Baez or Bryant, but I think it'll be Baez.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, how many relief pitchers will record a save? Let's set the over-under at, let's set it at 6.5. It was 7 in 2015. So Rondon, Mott, Wood, Strope, Grimm, James Russell, and Tommy Hunter all recorded saves in 2015. So 6.5 is the over-under.
Over? 7? I think Yeah, about the same. Just because of Madden's, what he did last year with, like, you know, not worrying about having a named closer towards the end of the year.
Right.
I think there were 7 last year.
Yeah, yeah. I same thing for me. I'm saying 7, so over.
Over.
Okay. The question is, who hits the first Cubs triple of the year?
I'm going to say Fowler.
Russell?
Okay, this could be my bold prediction. I think Schwarber hits the first triple.
Sorry, I didn't mean to laugh.
I don't think it's that far-fetched, but it's because the guy can scoot once he gets going.
Yep. How will the Cubs' first run of the year be scored?
Like, how detailed are we getting here?
Well, I'll give mine then. I think it'll be a Chris Bryant sacrifice fly.
Okay. Well, I said Hayward scores on like a Rizzo single.
That's really specific.
That's detailed. Well, what do you want me to set up the scenario of, like, I didn't know if we were saying, you know, Hayward's on third after a single, a stolen base, and a sack punt.
It's a 2-1 count. First, Rizzo comes
up. Who's?
It's a 2-1 count, an off speed pitch.
Yeah. Rizzo hits it solid single to beat the shift. And Hayward walks in to score the first run. Man, if that happens, that's going to be awesome.
Oh, my. I went really general and I just wrote sack fly. So.
All right.
So I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to think it's going to be a sack fly.
It's going to be so much easier for you to be right than Kurt.
Well, I think that's like impossible to predict anyways.
Right. Who hits?
Someone gets a hit and someone runs in and touches home plate. That's how I predict. Right.
I think the first Cubs run of the year will be scored by someone touching home plate.
With their left foot.
Who will hit the last Cubs home run of the season? Regular season. These are
incredibly specific.
I know. That's why I kind of like them.
Kyle Schwarber.
Chris Bryant.
I'm saying Schwarber. Which month will Lester get his first hit of the year?
I'm going with June.
July.
I said July, too. How many no-hitters will the Cubs pitchers have this year?
1.
0.
Yeah, 0.
Dang. Naysayers.
Anthony Rizzo, over under 22.5 hit by pitches. And remember that he had 30 in 2015.
Over.
Yeah, over, but less than last year, like 25.
I think over 2. I mean, because he's not backing up off the plate. This is obviously something that works for him. And another thing I was thinking is that I think that other teams don't like the attention that the Cubs are getting. And I think he's going to get plunked quite a bit again. I think he's going to be like probably one of the big targets for a pitcher. I think they're not going to like the fact that he's on top of the plate. And I think especially when you look at, like, I could see the Reds, the Cardinals, the Pirates, teams like that kind of having it out for him. So I think he's going to get plunked quite a bit. Okay, I got a kick out of this next batch here. Over under times that JD starts telling a story and trails off without actually finishing it. And the over under set at 47.5.
So this is going to be just for fun because there's no way you can track.
No, Michael's got to figure it out.
Yeah, right. Under.
I'll just read through these because some of these obviously we're not going to guess. Over under on times that Len references a song and JD starts singing a different one.
Or has no idea what band he's talking about. Right. That's the best.
More Lester Ayers throwing to a base or Grandpa Rossi home runs?
I actually guessed on that one. I guess Ross home runs. And you guys guessed on that one earlier, surprisingly.
I don't remember.
Well, when you were just talking about how you thought Ross was going to hit a number of home runs.
Man, that's kind of tough. I think
You got to think Lester's not going to throw to a base that much.
Well, he's going to have to if the ball gets hit back.
Error if like the pitcher just eats it when there's clearly should be a throw. Is that an error? You know, if you just I don't have a shot. He's just leaving the box.
He's like less than halfway to home plate and he doesn't throw it.
They just call it. What is that when you know when somebody steals a base and they don't throw it? It's like catcher's indifference. They just call it pitcher's indifference.
Lester's indifference.
You know, I gotta say though, like I think teams will try to bunt a lot more on Lester. Yeah. I don't know why teams haven't tried to do that more.
Especially the Cardinals. You know they will.
Especially after all the bunting that happened in the NLDS game too.
Yeah. I think Lester will have more errors throwing to a base.
Yeah, I think so too.
Although let's say just errors. Let's not say that they're like throwing to a base. Let's just say errors because I think that'll be easier to look up later. So I'm saying Lester errors. What are you saying, Kurt?
I guess Lester errs, but I feel really like uneducated about this one because I have no idea how many he committed last year or anything.
Andy, you said Ross, right?
Yeah, I said Ross. Let me give you guys a Lester. Lester committed only 3 errors in 2015. So I'm going to say Ross still.
Okay. Here's one we don't have to guess on. Will Montero's face continue its transition to looking like a catcher's mitt?
Now, it's a funny question, but it brings up a serious point. When Corey, you and I were talking to broadcaster Mick Gillespie, and he was pointing out how he thought Montero already looked tired in the spring.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he needs to find sort of a fountain of youth or something. I think it's going to be a long season this season.
Well,
and
I mean,
so,
keep in mind he's only going to be catching 3 of the starting pitchers.
Yeah, so I mean that's obviously going to help. So anyway, I mean I just hope he's able to maintain a good energy level throughout the entire season.
Right. Yeah. When the Nationals play the Cubs, will Phantom Pooper return to leave Dusty another present? Well, it's safe to say that Phantom Pooper is not on the Cubs team this year. So
there could be a new Phantom Pooper.
There could be, although I don't think any of the current Cubs, I don't think that they
they just discover notes in their locker. Continue my tradition.
I could see Madden doing it.
Will Coomdog fall asleep on air during the late night first game?
I think Coomdog has some energy. We had a couple sightings in spring training. He looked pretty spry and sprightly. So
yeah,
I would say no because he's adjusted to that West Coast time being out there for a month.
Good point. So. Yeah, good point. And he's probably getting a lot of massages
too.
There's
some real analysis right there. Coomdog's been out there for a while.
Okay, here's the last one from this group. What are the odds that JD takes his shirt off on camera this year?
Has that ever happened?
I have no. I don't think so.
Did I miss something?
It must have happened. Like if somebody,
or just whoever sent these in really wants to see JD without a shirt on.
The odds.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, I know. I doubt it.
Yeah, I'm gonna say 2% chance.
Less than.
Oh, well, that's more than one.
Over under for the number of times Schwarber falls down while running the bases. This person says to set it at 3. So
we'll set 2.5.
Yeah, let's do 2.5. So what do you guys think?
That's awesome.
I'm going to say under. I do think it'll happen though, at least once.
Yeah. If it were more broad clumsiness, I might go over, but I'll go under if it's just specific to running the bases.
Right.
Oh like, yeah. Well, let's include like
in the field. Like falling on the dugout steps.
Well, yeah. And it's just anywhere like trying to field a ball.
I think, oh man. Okay.
If it's general clumsiness, I'm going over.
I'm going to go, let's do general clumsiness. I think I'm going to go over, but I hope it's way over, but with no injuries. Like I would love it if at every game there something happened. It would be like the, I don't know. I would love that it's, or at least once a week, him do something clumsy. but always like kind of like pop up.
Falls off a stool or something.
I want a game to at least be a little bit like America's Funniest Videos every day.
Well, didn't last year? Wasn't he sitting on a cooler and he fell off?
Yeah.
And he fell like going around first too at some right. point.
Yeah.
And then I think Rizzo he had a ball hit over his head and kind of fell awkwardly too in left field, right?
I don't know. I don't remember that, but well, I'm okay. So we're all saying over instead of in saying a general clumsiness.
Yes. I'll say over.
Okay. Yeah. Highest number of beards in a starting lineup, the over under, they say 5, so let's set it at 5.5.
Shoot, I forgot to take a look at just the number of beards that exist.
Okay,
this is in one team's like the Cubs specifically, or like
right. So let me kind of like lay the foundation here. So let's say on a given day, Lester is pitching, so he's got a beard. Ross has a beard, so and he would be catching him. Then there's also Zobrist, Fowler, and Hayward that have beards. So we'll set it at 5.5. Schwarber has a goatee.
It's not a beard.
Right. So here's how I look at it. Schwarber has a goatee. I don't think he's going to grow a beard. I don't think Addison Russell can grow facial hair. I think Rizzo.
Chris Bryant could like sneak in with like a midseason beard and throw it on.
But that's my question. Like Bryant just kind of has like scruff. Do we count that as a beard? Could that become a beard?
I think it's got to be a real beard.
A real beard.
Yeah. To be a lumberjackian,
like Rizzo's face is too pretty. He's not doing it. I don't think Bryant's gonna like dirty up his face with it either. I mean, he's got the, you know, it depends on how many like express model shoots he has to do. Because he's not gonna be able to grow anything too big. I'm gonna say over, but I think it's going to be because of a trade.
Oh, so what was the number? The number is 4.5 or 5.5? 5.5.
Okay. I don't know. Oh, no. Okay. If I'm saying 5.5, no, I'm saying under.
So you're saying it's 5. That's what I'm saying. It's 5.
What? Yeah. Under.
Yeah.
That's like the most time we've spent on any of them.
Right.
Number of dudes.
Okay. Best bromance of the season. Okay. So we have Brizzo. We have, what is this? JL squared, Lester and Lackey. I guess that's what that is. Joe and the Zoe. So Joe Madden and Zobrist. And then the dark horse, Miggy and Schwarby.
Well, it's going to be hard to beat Brizzo. And I think Lester and Lackey could have like a side bromance, but it would be like not public.
Right. It's going to be like off in a tree stand. Somewhere over some bush lights,
chewing tobacco and
drinking,
or
bush
just
lights.
In the clubhouse drinking. But
yeah, I think it's going to be. I mean, until MLB does a commercial with anyone else, a fake commercial, I think it's got to be Brizzo.
Yep.
I assume you agree, Andy.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. What's next? Okay, Lester and Schwarber went back to back in spring training. How many times will that happen in the regular season? Don wants to set the over under at 1. Let's move it down to 0.5. So what do you guys think? Lester, Schwarber back to back.
It will never happen again.
Never. Yeah. I'm going to say 0.
Okay. I'm going to say 0 too. However, I think it will come really close to happening in Colorado. I think that Lester will hit a long fly ball to the warning track.
So, yeah.
All right. Yeah,
sure. Bold prediction. That's pretty bold.
Not really, because I said under. It'll come close to happening. Okay.
But if that happens, I would say if it happens as you say, I think you can get a point for that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let it be known right now that you get a point if that happens.
All right. That could be the difference. Over under on the number of players that are currently on the 25-man roster who will be with the Cubs at the end of the season, and the over under is 22.5.
I didn't see these, so I'm just totally flying guessing here.
I'm gonna say under.
You're going to say under.
Yeah, because I think, you know, Caesar probably won't be there. Potentially Solaire may not be there. LaStella may not be there. But then I think you also look at the pitching and how much turnover there was in pitching last year.
Yeah, good point.
I think it's going to be under.
Yeah, well, yeah, including the pitching, I think it has to be under.
Kurt, you agree?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Over under on the number of Cubs major leaguers suspended for PED / domestic issues, and it's set at the over under set at 0.99999.
Huh. So okay, so last year we had Taylor Teagarden, right?
Yeah, that was after the season.
Okay.
Well, yeah. I'm going to say under.
At the time of scoring. It will be under.
It has to be under. I mean, otherwise, I don't know how I'm going to live with this team.
Right. Right. Number of regular season sellouts at Wrigley. I think this was Jason in New Mexico that sent this. He said he has no idea where to send it or where to set the over under. So let's do this instead. The total attendance at Wrigley, and he sets the over under at 3,300,200.5, because the record, the regular season record at Wrigley is 3,300,200. So will the Cubs break their regular season attendance record?
So that's pretty reliant on them making the NLCS, right?
No, regular season.
Oh, regular season. Oh man. I say they break it.
Yep, me too.
Yeah, I think so. Given how we saw at spring training.
Yeah.
It's going to be a wild year.
Yep. Okay, so we'll do some quick here. John Lester hits. The over-under is 5.5.
Shoot, I got to say under, but I think he'll get close to... I think he'll hit 3 to 3 or 4.
I think he's under.
I think under, too. Does Rondon remain the closer all year?
No.
No way.
No. Kyle Hendricks wins 9.5.
Under.
You know, I think you're probably right, but I'm going to say over just purely optimistically and hoping he has a breakout year.
I'm going to go over too. I think he wins 11 or 12.
And it would be, yeah, it'd be like 10 or 11 for me.
Follow-up question is, who has a better year, Hendricks or Lackey?
Lackey.
Yeah, Lackey. I guess it's, I mean, how do you quantify the better year? But
well, we can judge it by war. Yeah. I'm going to say Hendricks.
All right. That's a little bit of a bold prediction.
Arrieta's ERA, and the over under is 2.75.
I'm going under. I think it'll be a little bit less than that, but not by much.
Yeah, I'd say under, and it'd be like in the 2 to 2.5 range.
Okay. I'm gonna say over, but just slightly. Like 2.77. I think he'll be right around in there.
If that happens, we're gonna have so many internet muscle flexes. Even though that's
how dare he have an ERA under 3.
This is ridiculous. I thought he was supposed to be good.
What a bum. Okay, the number of times that Madden brings live animals to the clubhouse, and the over-under is 2.5.
Oh, it's over.
Over.
Over, yeah.
Yeah, do we get credit for the one, the little cubs that he brought?
No.
It's going to be constant animals.
Yeah. but here's another point, though. Madden really wants to get a bird or something, doesn't he? So it could be every day. It could be...
There's just always a parrot on his shoulder.
It could be like 82 times.
Polly won a ring? They'll teach it to say, Polly won a ring.
Okay. Number of Cubs nominated for Gold Gloves. The over-under is 2.5. And for reference, there was one last year, Jake Arrieta.
I'm going to say under at 2. I could see if Hayward plays mostly right field, I could see he's won it in the past. I'm going to say 2. I could see Addison too.
Yeah. If it's just nominated, I'm going to go over.
Oh, nominated?
Yeah, nominated.
Yes.
Fudge, man. Okay. I have to say over also then. I'm sorry. Changing.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go over too. I think it's going to be Arrieta, Hayward, and Rizzo.
Russell? Yeah, I think Rizzo, certainly. But
okay, I'm not being specific. I'm just saying over.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I think Hayward and Rizzo are pretty solid. And then, yeah, it could be like a Russell or a pitcher.
Well, Arrieta had one last. He was nominated last year. So, okay, what will our record against the Cardinals be this year? And I believe they play 18 games, right? I'm pretty
8 and
sure.
11 in 2015.
Okay. 8 and 11. So they played 9. Is that including the playoff games?
I don't think so.
Just every regular season.
Well, I don't know how many times they play.
Let's pretend it's 18.
Okay, let's pretend it's 18. So the first 18 times they play in 2011.
If they only play 17, we get, that's an automatic win.
I just said it was 2011. I don't know. We need to record at night. I do better at night.
11 and 7.
That's exactly what I had, 11 and 7.
Yeah, so 19 regular season games, not including the 4 postseason games last season.
Okay.
And so I think, let's see, I think they're going to be 10 to 9.
So I'll just up mine to 12 and 7.
Okay, so if it's 19 games, then I'm going to say 11 and 8. Okay, number of games played by Munenori Kawasaki. This person says the over-under is at 40 and a half, but we may not find that reasonable.
Well, yeah, I'm saying under.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's set it lower.
Okay, let's set it at 28. And a half.
Ooh. I'm gonna stay under just because I hope, because to me if he's playing second, something went wrong.
Right. That, yeah, I think if he gets into a lot of games, that's not good. And I think that, you know, with the outfield, there's a lot of playing time for defensive substitutions. You know, Schwarber and potentially Soler. But that's not really the case with the infield. So, you know what I mean?
Like,
the infield doesn't need it.
Oh, sorry, I'll let you finish that.
Well, I was just going to say, I can see some of these bench guys getting in that might be good in defense getting in the outfield with substitutions. But that's not the case in the infield. Russell is not going to be pulled. And Zobrist and Baez are both there. So, yeah, I just don't see him getting into that many games.
One thing I didn't consider when I said, though, is that, like, I think he could be a really solid pinch hitter, and that as a game played, right?
Right.
I mean, if you get into the game, it counts. So he could come in a really late inning pinch hit, which I think is...
I think you mean pinch bunt, but yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. I don't even know what I picked, so whatever.
20 and a half is the over-under.
And I said under, so...
I'm going to say under.
I'm sorry. So this is, I missed the topic. Sorry.
You go pee again.
Kawasaki.
Okay. We're still on Kawasaki. I'm going to say under.
Okay. Okay. So I've got one more to add in here. This was late. Number of Joe Maddon ejections, and we'll set the over under at, let's set it at 5.5.
Anybody know what he had last year?
I'm not sure. I don't know, but I'm going to say over 2.
Yeah, probably over. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So now the important things. I mean, not that any of these others weren't important, but I'm kind of curious, and I don't even know if I put this in our notes, but who do you guys think will how many All-Stars do you think that the Cubs will have? You know, how many players on the All-Star team, and who do you think that might be?
I'm going to trust my gut. I'm just going to say 3. Arrieta. Because, you know, when does the Cy Young, defending Cy Young, not make the All-Star team the next year? Hayward. And Bryant.
Okay, I'm going to go four. I'm going to go Arrieta, Rizzo, Bryant, and who's my fourth?
Hayward?
I guess Hayward.
Yeah, now I feel really stupid for leaving Rizzo out, but first base is pretty tough.
Well, I'm going to say three. I'm going to leave Hayward out. So I think it'll be Arrieta, Rizzo, and Bryant.
Yeah. But I think there are a few other players who could also, you know, if Hayward doesn't make it.
Tommy La Stella.
There are others who are ASG worthy, like Tommy La Stella, for example.
Well, I mean, I think you remember like in, what was that, in 2008 when the Cubs had like eight guys on the All-Star game? I mean, I think that if, especially with fan voting, it's so crazy. So, I mean, like, you really could see, like, Schwarber, Hayward. I mean, you could see a ton.
Just because of the hype.
Right, yeah. Okay, so let's kind of do our big prediction. So how many wins do you think the Cubs will have in the regular season, 2016? And I guess... Are there any like you know, postseason predictions that you'd like to make? You don't have to, but how many wins?
We did this on the
but we've had time to think about it.
Yeah, I'm definitely changing mine.
I'm 94 and 68.
I'm up to 96 and 66.
Okay, I think they're going to win 93 games, but I mean, I've said this, you know. I think I said it on that episode. I expect them to be a better team with fewer wins. I think they'll win the division. Past that, as we saw last year, I mean, the Cardinals won 100 games and didn't make it past their first series in the playoffs. So I think it's just too hard to predict. I wouldn't have thought after going 7-0 against the Mets in the regular season, I wouldn't have expected the Cubs to, you know, be swept by them in the postseason. So
That's a good point.
I find it really hard to predict what could happen in the playoffs. So I'm just going to say that they win 93 games and they win the division. That's what I.
Yeah. Because if postseason predictions, if you do anything less than winning the World Series, then you're just not an optimist. So
yeah. So thanks to you know, everybody for sending those in, and we want to hear your thoughts on these predictions. So you can go to ivenvy.com and leave a comment on the post for this episode and tell us your predictions. If there's one stat that you think we're way off on, then leave us a voicemail. Tell us we're idiots, and we'll play it at the end of our midweek episode. And we also would like it if you would leave a voicemail and tell us how many wins you think the Cubs will have at the end of the regular season. If you have our free IVMV iOS or Android app, you can tap contact and then call the show and leave a voicemail. If you don't have the app, you can go get it. It's free. You can also call the voicemail line, and the phone number is 309-517-0624. That's 309-517-0624. Again, tell us how many wins you think the Cubs will have at the end of the regular season and any thoughts that you have on any of these categories that we predicted. So, Andy, do you have a Rube Waddell story for us this week?
Yeah, sure. Let's see. There's a guy named Lee Allen who wrote about Rube Waddell, and he talks about how one year in his career, Rube Waddell began the year sleeping in a firehouse in New Jersey and ended the year as a bartender. In between, he won 22 games. He played for a rugby football club. He toured the nation in a play or melodrama called The Stain of Guilt. He married a woman and then became separated from her. He saved a woman from drowning, and he accidentally shot a friend through the hand and was bitten by a lion all in one year.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, man. It's an eventful year for Rube Waddell. Oh, jeez.
That wasn't even the most eventful
year. Think about, like, look at how many weeks you could have stretched just that year out into.
He once got bitten by a lion. That's like one week's story. But no, that's just a year in the life of Rube Waddell.
Oh, man. Good stuff. I look forward to next week's. So do you guys have any internet muscle flexes? And Kurt, do you want to let people know what they are?
I do. It's, you know, people flexing muscles on the internet.
There you
go. That's what it is.
I have some.
That I do. Gonna, I have a couple.
I have some that I'm going to read off the air. But
I have two air appropriate flexes.
Okay. I kind of have two. One's weak and one's okay. Andy, do you have any?
No, I don't have any this week.
Okay. How about I'll do a weak one?
Kurt, yeah, I have one.
We'll go every
weekish.
Yeah. Okay. The first one is it's a picture of John Lester pitching at spring training. It was from the Cubs Instagram, and this person said, this maybe isn't that good, but it made me chuckle. Why is he wearing a black undershirt? He looks like a total nerd.
Nerd flex.
Go ahead.
Oh, well, my not so good one really kind of falls into, it's not really a flex, more than like a thank you, Captain Obvious. And this person says, I see Castro's wearing number 14 in NY. That would never have happened in Cubby Land. You're probably right.
Okay. This next one is kind of a take on, I can't even remember what the picture was on Instagram. But this is kind of a take on the, you know, the shirt that you see around at Wrigley Field and see Cubs fans wearing it where, you know, what was it, Kurt? You mentioned it, I think, on the last episode about
The lower me.
Right.
Or let me down. Let me down.
Right. They want the Cubs to be the pallbearer so they can let you down one last time. And this person, I don't know if this is kind of where he got the idea, but he says, I want Rizzo to spit on my casket as they lower me into the ground.
What?
What?
I don't even know what that means.
You can't take it with you, man. He just wants Rizzo to spit on him.
Yeah, Rizzo just keeps letting him down.
That guy
has not lived up to the hype.
I don't think that's it. I think it's like an admiration for Rizzo. Like he wants him, I don't know. Lauren in the chat says, get in the box.
Yeah. I want Rizzo to spit on my box.
He wants the bodily fluid from Rizzo to be forever encased with him in the ground.
Oh, man. All right. Well, here's my next one. And I usually don't read screen names, but in this one, it's important. And this person is, their screen name is Who's Your Mama? And they write, Hamill is in better shape this year. Lackey is still old, but on PEDs like Arrieta, so they'll be fine. Just think if Taylor Teagarden was on juice. Can you imagine or see in plain view Arrieta? How many others are too? MLB drug policy is a complete fraud. And then this person follows up and says, at Who's Your Mama? Your mama's on PEDs.
That's as classic a muscle flex as we can get.
It was perfect. And that one came from Cubs.com, too, which I went back to the well for some good stuff. Wow.
All right. So as I mentioned at the beginning of the episode, we are now starting our in-season schedule with two episodes a week. The first Cubs game is Monday night. It's a late night West Coast game. If you're watching the game, log in to our game chat at ivmb.com, and you can talk about the game with other Cubs fans. I'll be hanging out in there that night. So that's kind of a good place to collect. You can do your commenting on the game on Twitter, but if you don't want to clog up your Twitter feed with that, then come on over to the game chat, and there'll be some people in there. And also, don't forget about our sale on t-shirts. You can go to ivmb.com/store and use the coupon code 2016 to get 20% off our shirts. I wanted to thank everyone that left a review for us in the last week. I said on the last episode that anyone that left us a review would have their name entered into a contest for their choice of either an IVMB shirt or an IVMB pint glass. I'm going to extend that for a few days. And we'll have the cutoff be Tuesday night, and then we will announce the winner on our midweek episode of the podcast. The reviews help us a lot, and thanks to the 35 of you that were kind enough to take 3 minutes to leave us a review. We really do appreciate that. This episode was brought to you by all of our Patreon supporters. If you like what we do and you would like to help us keep things going, pay the podcasting bills and everything, and if you think that the episodes during the season are worth a dime to you, then check out our Patreon campaign. Pledging levels start at $1 a month, which works out to be about 12.5 cents per episode during the season. There's perks at every level, and you can get some IVMV swag. So go to patreon.com/IVMV. That's patreon.com/IVMV. Thank you for listening to this episode. Again, call the voicemail line and tell us how many wins you think the Cubs will have in the 2016 regular season. And then you can look like the brilliant person you are at the end of the season. So opening day is here. I would guess this is probably the most excited that I've ever been for a season. And I'm guessing that most of you that are listening would agree with that. We'll be here the entire season with new episodes on Sunday nights and the midweek episodes, which are usually on Wednesday nights. And we'd be thrilled to be a part of your routine this baseball season. And we want you to be part of the show. If you have any thoughts on the Cubs throughout the season and you want to share it with our listeners, then leave a voicemail. We'll play them at the end of the episode. And it's going to be an exciting season, and it starts now. So we will be back on Wednesday night to talk about the first two games of the season. And these games are against the Angels in Anaheim. And until then, go Cubs.
Champagne by the lakeside when the evening comes. When the stars align, we're gonna pop champagne. Gonna pop champagne by the lakeside.